Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
How we doing, folks? How's it going? Good to have you with us and everything and all that. Non-anyways. Although, to be honest with you, I have to say, at the time we're recording this, I feel like I have nothing left to say because I'm completely talked out.
Oh yeah, we've been doing loads of interviews and everything today.
And everything and all that sort of stuff.
So we've been talking.
By the way, just to point out, interviewing other people. It's not like, you know, anybody ever wants to talk to us and interview us.
Oh yeah. No, it's the other way around. Yeah, we're hunting them down and pinning them down. We were talking to your man Kelly from the Stereophonics and all.
Yeah.
I tell you something. I just realised now. He's not the fella that sings. I was thinking of until after the interview. I was thinking of Radiohead again. What? I thought he was. You know. I'm a creep. Is that him?
No.
I'm a weirdo. What's it Stereophonics
do? Thank God you didn't bring that up in. It's a good job you didn't ask him. Come here, are you going to be playing?
I was going to, but I googled it in the middle of the thing. So we're all right. Don't worry, don't panic.
Can you imagine?
What is it they did? What's their big one?
Well, there's Have a Nice Day.
Ah, oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, there's Handbags and Glad Rags.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, really?
That's very good.
So you're a fan.
I wish I knew that. That's a fabulous song. Yeah, they're a really good band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's amazing the way that works, isn't it?
I might go to the gig tonight.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but that's great. I was at an event last week. I was at the Pride March. Dublin Pride was out.
I tell you, that's not news to anybody, considering anybody who's ever kind of wafted across your social media will have seen the images.
Oh yeah, it was gas though, because you know the way. Like, it was such a big event, it's such a big festival event, and there's people coming from all over the whole country. And it was great because there was like what something that happened I didn't expect to see. Loads of Dublin fans who were going to Crow Park for the evening game came down to enjoy the match before, or they came down to enjoy the parade beforehand. It was all great fun. And I was posting up on my Instagram stories all the pictures of the flags and banners. And then I started getting these Instagram messages from people saying, fair play to you, PJ. Never knew you were gay. Hope you have a brilliant day. Delighted for you. I was like, do you know something? I'm not even going to correct them. I'm loving being praised. I'm loving it.
Yeah, you will take adulation in any form.
In any form, yeah. I was sending back messages. Thanks a million, means a lot.
Yeah.
That's great, yeah.
Taking me a while to come to terms, but now I'm proud.
Yeah, now I'm, keep sending the love. Keep sending the love, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. The only thing about it is, as you often say, we wouldn't actually allow to be gay because we're just not hot enough.
No, I'm not cool enough anyway. Yeah, no, that's for sure.
And particularly after your dancing escapade.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
that
was most people did. Where you were like literally, it was. Look, I'm not going to be put too fine a point out of it. It was borderline embarrassing.
It was borderline.
You were like that person.
It's not even borderline. It's full embarrassing.
You were dancing for a pint. It was like the way they used to have to throw pennies at a lad standing, and he'd have to dance for a penny.
That's what it was.
Something like.
We were playing bingo, you see. They did bingo in the pub, and if two people got a house or a line at the same time, you had to have a dance off for a pint. And once again, I don't like dancing at any given time, but dancing at Pride is a different thing because
everybody else can dance.
Can dance, and they're cool people.
Yeah.
And the last thing, if I did win, the most uncool thing you can do is buy, that'll be a Smittix, please. It's not the coolest drink in the world,
No, I know what you're saying. It takes away that. Because remember the time you and I were in town, we were doing some sort of gig in town, and we said we'd go for a pint beforehand.
Yes.
Do you remember that? And we were checking out a few pubs. They were rammed because it was a Friday evening.
Yeah, we went into the Foggy and all. It was absolutely chock-a-block. Yeah.
And then you remembered that the pub in
Street 66 on Parliament Street.
That's right. So, which is technically designated as a gay bar.
And that's why I love going in there for a quiet pint because I'm not cool enough for the community.
And it's amazing that when we were in there having a pint, there was a combination of looks of sympathy.
Yeah. There was, sympathy. Yeah, and bewilderment.
Very welcoming as well.
Very welcoming. It's a great spot. It's a really good pub.
It was really there was not. You couldn't, even if you'd have wanted to try and pass yourself off as gay, you wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah.
Because they literally would. No, look at the stadium. You know you're not.
Yeah. Are you joking? Yeah, I know. I know, that's the thing. That's why it was always, when growing up, it was always the ugliest looking straight lads ever that were like, if a gay lad's bad, I'll be coming on to me. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about
it. Of all the people here, you're the last person who needs to worry.
Because that's what they're into. Hairy belly, big fat lumps with one eye.
Oh, yeah.
They walk around the road and are afraid and ignorant to everyone. That's the most attractive trait.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. If I was in the shower and I came in, I'd be there, I'd box the blitting head off. Don't worry about it. You're safe.
Yeah, yeah.
You just
trust me. You may as well have a security guard with you because nobody's coming near you.
You literally have as much chance of being the first Irishman on the moon as you do of that happening. So don't worry about it. You carry on with your life, you clown.
Very good. Yeah. By the way, the other thing is, it's not often we get a chance to do this, right? Because when we do the podcast or whatever, you never really have any... I know that a few weeks back we did talk about some of the mad places that people listen to us.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And occasionally some very nice people, and I would encourage people to say this, providing it's providing it is nice things that you have to say, some very nice people will actually put up on social media, "Oh, I was just listening to Glory Days with PJ and Jim. It was absolutely hilarious, brilliant, fantastic," right? But a lot of the time, you don't get sort of feedback, right?
That's, yeah.
Well, I have some feedback for
you. Oh, no way, you have feedback. You've written feedback.
So, I'm assuming this is on last week's episode, okay? So, Siobhan was on to say, "Was in a heap listening to that out walking yesterday."
That's good to
I'm
hear.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yeah, I can't take that as a compliment. Rather, that she was so upset she fell over.
Exactly.
You know, when she was walking.
That she was so outraged that she curled herself up to a ball and cried by the side of the road. I'm going to take it she meant laughing. Dave was on saying, "Probably one of the funniest podcasts, Gas."
There you go. Thanks very much.
You're only going to turn these into a poster, don't you?
Yeah.
Start just randomly mailing people. Just mail shot people.
That's what.
Do you know what Dave said? You know, I'll tell you, Dave knows, right?
If we ever do a live podcast, we'll just have like, you know, funniest shy Dave. 6 stars.
Yeah. Jesus, you're a tonic from Mary.
Yeah.
That's a great line for a poster.
Yeah, Jesus, he's a tonic.
Jesus,
or put
tonic.
On quotes about each other from each other.
Yeah.
His ma says he's good looking. Jim. About me.
That would be amazing. Yeah. For a hairy bloke, he's actually sound. PJ.
Yeah, imagine PJ and Jim's show, and the quote at the bottom is, "Probably the best show I have ever seen, including theatre and dance. PJ and Jim."
I'm all on for that.
I think that's
the way forward.
Yeah, I think so.
Although the thing about it is, if you did, you'd probably have to put a bit of work in if you did live shows. You know what I mean?
That's why it's not worth it. That's why I decided to get a job where you did all the work, because it's very difficult. And you don't get the benefit of your weekend. And I know it. I see it. Jim comes in every Monday tired. He's done a whole week's work, and then he has to go on. He has to blow off some fumes. I prefer to go at a medium pace. You know, let the pendulum swing, not too high, not too low.
Because that is it's a unique aspect of your character. It has to be said that, like most people, you know, they spend a big chunk of their life striving for success.
Yeah.
And they hope that one day they'll get there and they'll be able to enjoy the fruits of that.
Exactly.
Success.
Yeah. Ambitious.
That,
yeah.
You know, and all that sort of stuff. And if fairness, you did. You put a lot of hard graft in. You know, you became a television star, the success of Naked Camera and everything, and you had became one of the top comedians in the country and all that sort of stuff, and you could sell out tours all over the country and everything like that. And then you went, "Oh, I can't be here.
I was there. This is a pain in the hole. This. I'm not enjoying this at all."
You went,
I'm not enjoying this at all.
Watch me. I have to try again. I have to do another one.
They kept coming, man. I was like, and then they'd be saying, "Oh, you have a gig in England." Fucking England. Are you joking me? You know how hard it is to get back from England on the same day? You can't do it. You have to stay there. No. Oh, jeebus, I wasn't able.
Yeah. I've never known. I mean, it's extraordinary. People say to you, obviously we'll put you up. We'll get you a hotel and everything. Ah, no. What's that? Like, stay over.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not being my own.
I remember touring China and Canada and all. It was a pain in the arse.
You must be the hardest business sell. If somebody's trying to, you know, like, you sold successful videos and DVDs, and you know, you could sell out. Like, in other words, you have the literally the elements, the raw elements of success and money making at your fingertips, and you're going, no, thanks.
Yeah, but
I think I'll just leave it. Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, I think you're all right. Yeah, thanks. Give it to someone that deserves it, or that wants it. Yeah, I'd rather just. You know, I'd much rather just come in here and do your head in every day. It's much more pleasurable. Why make a million people happy when you can make one man truly miserable? A million strangers. What does a million smiles and a million strangers' faces mean to me? Nothing. I can come in here and just watch Jim wither with my bullshit every day. Like erosion hitting a rock.
Tell you something, you're some version of a Dalai Lama. You are. Coming out with quotes like that. Right, listen, come here. I tell you what, we'll give you a few of the best bits of last week's show. Good crack as always last week on Morning Glory. So a few of the things we ended up talking about. I'm going to see if these ring any bells for me. Cats. No, nothing on that.
Yeah, no, cats, we were talking.
What were we talking about, cats?
I was just about to tell you, and then I realised I forgot as well. But it's something about cats. It's very important about cats, yeah.
Yeah. I would advise you to listen to it anyway, because whether you're a fan of cats or not a fan of cats, this one could have gone either way, and we don't know. So I'd go with it anyway. I do remember, though, speaking about one of PJ's great heroes, Barry Manilow.
Yes.
And one of his less heroes, Chris Martin.
Can't stand that, lad.
And their impromptu appearances.
Yeah, you'll hear about this, yeah.
That led us down a weird
Doing
road.
Doing an Ed Sheeran, the two of them.
That led us down a weird road. There was also, to be fair, you're not necessarily renowned as religious.
To say
the least. But for some reason we ended up talking about the Pope.
Yeah, we were talking about the Pope because the Pope had... was being contacted for something that essentially you think he'd have better things to do, really.
And I'm sure he thinks he's got better things
to
do.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
To be perfectly honest with you. But nonetheless, it was an unusual solution to a very Irish problem. But anyway, so we'll hear about that with the Pope. And also, flying in the face of what we thought was kind of, you know, accepted kind of fact when it comes to, you know, how to behave on a first date.
Yeah.
We've been doing it wrong for ages.
Of course you should. They're saying you should. Well, I'll let you hear. Anything over a Frenchie and a bit of outside knocker is too much. I'm sorry, it's just too much.
Outside
outside diddy if you're left, and you ask permission for that. And I tell you something, anything more than that, it's too much.
So this one came as a bit of a shock to you, didn't it?
It did, yeah, you're not into that.
He's not the better of it.
Not at all. A little Frenchie on the street corner and a good look, and can I have your phone number? And do it all again the next day. You've plenty of time for that.
Have a listen and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
To be honest with you, the way the housing market is here, maybe there won't be many people out there looking to buy a house at the moment. But if you are lucky enough to be in the position where you might be, you know, thinking about, you know, sticking a bid in on something or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
A big part of it, whatever about your lovely house, what's either side of it?
Exactly,
PJ?
Yeah. That's hugely important because we forget. You'd start looking at the inside and go, oh, we could do this and we could put that there and we could, you know, have a lovely vol-au-vent couch or whatever they're called. All these places. And you never think about the neighbours. And they're saying, you must ask about the neighbours.
Right.
And there's things you need to know about your neighbours before you move into an area because they, of course, they can make or break your living situation.
Will
you know?
They tell you the truth, though? Whoever you're buying it off. If you're buying it off the original owners, if you're buying it off an estate agent, is anybody ever going to turn around and go, no, you're going to have a lot of problems with the ones on the left?
Yeah, but even it's not even so much it's antisocial, it's just stuff that might annoy you a bit, you know.
Right.
So ask, like, for instance, the neighbours seem nice. Do they have barbecues at all? And so it sounds like you would want to be involved.
Ah.
You know.
And so then you find out they're sort of party central in the back garden.
Yeah, and if your underpants are going to smell like rashers all the time.
When you have the washing out.
You have the washing out and then the smoke is coming over the fence. And you go to put on a new pair of strides and you realise you're sitting on the bus and you go...
Smoky bacon.
Yeah, you're the smoky bacon trousers on you. Or whatever. You know, you want to know if that's going to be
so
a very regular...
So it's a subtle way of finding out if they're...
Yeah, these things, you know. So, and they also say, if you can, it's worth asking in some roundabout way, do they spend a lot of time in bed, the two of them? You know.
Oh, really? Yeah. Similar to that story we had last week.
Yeah, exactly.
That your man who had to cut his grass every time they got up to no good next door.
Exactly. It's exactly like that. Because if they do, you know, if they're a particularly sleepy couple, let's say.
Or active in their sleep.
If insomnia is a bit of a thing. They're in bed a lot, but there's not a lot of sleeping going on.
Hear you.
If that's going on, since, let's face it, the first recession and that... Some of the houses don't exactly have the thickest of walls.
I know, yeah.
And
it's basically, you know, two sheets of kitchen towel between
essentially
separating them.
And the last thing you want to hear when you're watching EastEnders is somebody having a sort of naked foiree. In the room next door.
Right.
You know, so there's that. They say you should definitely do that. You should ask the name of the cat, because if they have a cat, that cat's going to be in your house more than theirs. You know the way cats are, they pretty much...
That's a way of finding out if they have pets and stuff, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. And it also because cats are... They're not like dogs. Dogs are something like cats are... It's like a protection racket. You know the way a cat can knock around to a neighbour and go... Food. You know that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's one of the more unusual cat sounds I think I've ever heard. But
food.
Yeah. What was that? Unusual cat.
What was he thinking? Meh. You know when the cat comes around to the house? Meh.
Very Dublin cat, yeah, with a very specific set of needs.
Yeah, not very good at that.
Anything else then to watch for?
Yeah, yeah, how rich they are, because it's, which is a good thing, because I'm like this now. So
how do you find that? You say out straight.
What do they work at? You know, you don't happen to know what they work at, and there's that sort of thing.
Because
you know the way sometimes in the garden, for instance, like I'd arrive with my dog and all that, right?
Yeah.
And this happened before with me. I was very lucky. Okay. I arrived with the dog, and new neighbour moved in next door, and she was like, "Oh, yeah, but dogs aren't my thing." But there was no fence between us.
Oh, right.
And I was like, "Oh, this, how unfortunate."
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, it's your part of the land, you know, she put up the thing. I went, yeah, that's very unfortunate. And she ponied up for the fence.
Did she?
She built the fence.
Right. So it should have been you, should it?
Yeah.
It was on your bit.
It's technically on my bit, and she still repairs it in case the dog gets into her garden.
Great.
And I wouldn't
and
mind
that's
only
because she's got a few quid.
I wouldn't mind only the dog. It never actually got into her garden. I was kind of putting the poo in her garden so she would build the fence.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There's a little story of, I suppose even, look, come on, the most famous of faces, you know, occasionally need a little sustenance.
Yeah, they do. I love this story. So it's just a very regular pub in the Midlands of England. Nothing very special about it. A roadside boozer. Do a bit of food every so often. And yesterday, they were open. Not a lot happening. And in walks Barry Manilow. And
Barry Manilow.
Yeah, Barry Manilow just walks in and he sits down and goes, they were like, can I help you? He goes, yeah, fish and chips and a cup of tea, he said.
Right.
And then he had a pint and he was just sitting there minding his business and nobody could believe it was him. They were like, oh my God.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, they were like, Barry. And apparently they just couldn't believe it was him. So it was like that was, so they were doing that thing.
By the way, is it him?
No, it couldn't be him. Who else would come into this pub with a spangly jacket and a huge
hooter? Did he have a spangly
jacket? No, I don't know. I don't.
Oh, please let that be the...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. So, and the frilly shirt.
Yeah, you imagine,
that would have been amazing.
Coming in, he was free. Yeah, the whole... And then, dropping hints. Still wanting to be known. Yeah, you'd be there.
Yeah. Walking up and going, is Mandy on?
Yeah, Mandy. I'd be like, it's not Mandy works here. No. It's raining outside. Never rains in California, though, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but dying for a pint. In fact, I can't smile without one.
Yeah. You know. Did this place used to be the Copacabana?
And they're still going, I don't know if that's Barry Manilow.
It looks pretty like him, though.
Yeah. It's just... Because
the gas thing about it is, coincidentally, I saw a thing on social media yesterday, right? And there was this again, really average run-of-the-mill boozer somewhere in England,
yeah.
Right? Was beside itself because Chris Martin from Coldplay wandered in. He wandered in for a jar or whatever. And, sorry, Anto's just caught me eye there. He wants to know, did Barry Manilow go in and order a pina colada? But anyway, sorry. So anyway, Chris Martin walks in and they were saying he was a lovely, lovely fella. But the table he sat at, you know, it was one of these pubs that had, you know, like a piano.
Of course.
It was there for more as an ornament.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like the way pubs have all this kind of bric-a-brac stuff or whatever. But he actually started playing it.
What's your name again?
Hannah.
And?
Jeremy.
You're getting married in a minute.
No, 28th of August.
Oh, yeah,
but
he's
doing the food.
Figurative
minute.
And that's Alfie's piano.
Is your sky? Oh, your sky.
In a pub in England.
I'm gonna give you my heart.
Piano could do with a bit of tuning.
Yeah.
You get better, the more it gets dark.
So he's playing it for your woman because she's getting married.
Sorry.
Fair play to him.
you played, that annoys me now. That annoys me now.
Does it?
Yeah.
So you'd be the one sitting the other end of the pub going, shut up, will
Come
you?
Here. What? He walks in for a jar, right? And he's like, yeah, I'll go for a pint. And he just happens to sit at the piano. And he's looking around. And then someone goes, are you Chris Martin? Oh, what a coincidence. I have a piano right here. And they're like, oh, no way. And he goes, are you getting married? Oh, you're not going to believe it. I've got a song about you. Oh, shut up, Chris Martin. You went in there to get noticed and attention. So Barry Manilow has a fish and chips and a spangly jacket. He minds his own business. And then here's this Jaffy Joffer going in.
You're saying Barry Manilow walking in a spangly jacket and a frilly shirt is less conspicuous than Chris Martin sitting down at a piano.
Yeah, yeah. But
it just happened to be there.
Yeah, imagine Barry Manilow just happened to sit next to an acoustic guitar. Would you get out of it? He was dying to make a show of himself. Oh, that's unbelievable. That annoys me now. I'd be sitting there with Barry Manilow having me fish and chips, and he'd be going, who's your man? I'd be there, don't worry, Barry. Don't worry about him. He's an attention seeker, I'd say.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
This next story, I have to say that we've just found, I think probably qualifies. I don't know where it came from, PJ, necessarily, but I think it's the most Irish story you could ever invent.
Same here, yeah.
Because it literally has everything that you could. The ultimate in Irishness, which is Mammy's Boys and the Pope.
And the Pope, yeah.
I mean, are there any more Irish ingredients?
And he's, I guess, Italian boys and a lot of sort of Catholic countries, I suppose.
Is it
are seen to be.
Uniquely Irish thing, though, is it?
I don't know. I think it might be an Italian thing as well.
As well.
Mammy's just, they look at Mammy's Boys. It's such a real thing in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the Pope is now saying, he said yesterday in the service, he goes, listen, he's 85 years old. He goes, will you stop ironing your son's shorts, for God's sake? he didn't say it quite like that. But he said, don't let men take the easy road and be running back to their mammies when they have moments of difficulty. He goes, we see so many young men nowadays that don't have the courage to get married. And their mothers are contacting me, he says. And they're saying, listen, would you speak to my son? He's 37 years old and he's still living in the house and he won't get married. And the Pope says, he always answers by going, but Signora, he says, Signora. Don't be ironing his shorts. You have to make the first move by sending him out. Throw him out of the nest. You know, and this is like such an amazing story, isn't it?
I know you're saying that it probably does exist. Yeah, the Italians are very family orientated. It's probably similar situation there. But the idea of lads just not wanting to leave home because they'd have to look after themselves. And then that's one side. That's Irish personified in itself, right? But then the fact of the Ma contacting the Pope.
The Pope!
What are you asking me for?
Imagine.
I don't even have kids.
You have a 37-year-old son. You're going, do you know what I'm doing? If you don't go out and get your own place, I'm calling the Pope. I'm calling the Pope.
It's literally, do you know what it's like the adult equivalent, right?
Yeah.
Of saying to a young child, if you don't behave yourself, right, I'm ringing Santa. I'm going to ring Santa. I'm going to tell him that you're misbehaving.
It is, yeah.
And Santa won't bring you your toys.
Yeah.
If you're not.
The man will get you. So don't be doing that. The man over there will come over and he'll lift you out of it.
So say to your 37-year-old son, I'll tell you something. If you don't start washing up after yourself, I'm ringing the Pope.
And imagine actually doing it. Ringing the Vatican. Come here. You couldn't put us onto the Papa there for a second, could you? What's it about? Who's this? You know, no, it's nothing presidential or any, you know, just I have a young fella here. After ironing the shirt, he still won't go on a date. I can't get him out of the house. Like,
unreal.
Yeah, they contacted
him. I didn't know you could randomly contact the Pope anyway. But I assume that when he, like, they don't ring him.
No, apparently a lot of it happens when, you know, the way every so often he goes down and he does the shaky hand, he going through the crowd.
Right.
You know, and the L ones will go, come, you don't have a few minutes, do you? They do this. You don't have it. You couldn't, you know, pick your brains.
On a walkabout.
Yeah, so when he's doing this thing, you know, and everyone's just going, oh, pop.
I'll tell you something. My Tony, he's he's in his late 30s now, and he's still no side from
you. Why do you think he hasn't found a woman? I don't know. He was out marching there on Saturday with his friends.
There could be something in that.
He just hangs around with these lads all the time, you know. He wears like these hot pants and everything, and they're having a great time together. Yeah.
And I mean, he's very attractive because like he's really colourful.
I think he's going to join the... He wants to join the Navy, I think, with the hat he wears when he goes dancing. They're going, okay.
So maybe it's nothing to do with the shorts. But it's mad to think
like he makes me iron his rubber shorts before he goes out to the club.
And I've ruined loads of them. And very hard to get the rubber sitting on an iron. Very hard to get the rubber sitting on an iron. But so they reckon that it's actually because... So he made El Papa, or Il Papa, or whatever he is, reckons that it's down to them being too well looked after.
He thinks they're too well looked after.
That they don't want...
Mammy's boys,
I mean, did you say that they were scared of marriage? That's probably very wise.
It's probably not a thing. You know, it's a big contract. You know what I mean? There's two contracts of you can sign in your life. One of them is like a mortgage and the other one is a marriage. It's easy to get out of a mortgage. You just run away to another country, leave the key in the house and leg it. You know, they can't find you.
Yeah.
Getting out of a marriage takes a little bit more dodging, you know? So maybe waiting a little while longer is no problem, you know?
Just had a WhatsApp in from Paddy saying that if he was a son involved in that scenario, he'd be just saying, look, Papa, don't preach.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, Paddy.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I know.
It'd be great, though, if it was like, if you could get it to the stage where the Pope actually rang back.
It would be brilliant,
Stick me on to him. What's his name?
Stick me on to Kevo there. Right, how are you, Kevo? What's the crack?
Il Papa here. Come here, listen. Sort yourself out, will you? Start doing your own washing. Get out, find yourself a partner in life and leave your poor mother alone. She's distraught looking after you.
Come over and stay with me and the lads here in Italy for a few days. We'll send you out, you know. We'll be doing a bit of that.
What they should do is, anyway, I assume the other thing is, remember you told that story of your man, of your mate who kept eating the jelly? Remember that, lad?
Oh, yeah.
And he rang the jelly department.
His father.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the equivalent of that, isn't it? It's like if how much... You must be really at your last wit's end if you resort to ringing the Pope
to try
and sort
out... You've spoken to everyone. You've spoken to your husband and all. You've spoken to the brothers and sisters, the whole lot.
Yeah, gotten advice maybe from, you know, whatever.
The local parish priest and all. He's there going, I don't know, this is above my pay grade. I don't know what we're going to do. Yeah. I only do exorcisms. Trying to get a young lad to get married is way beyond anything I can do, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, it's almost like going a level above, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'd have to go, that's a big one now. You'll have to go straight to the top for that one.
Straight to the top for weddings.
Maybe they assume that the Pope then just gets onto God and goes, listen, your man Kevo O'Leary there is absolutely driving his man around the bend. Send something down, will you?
Yeah, no.
Angel or something.
No worries, I'll send someone his way, Someone just like his mother. She'll be ironing the shorts from now on.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Delicate one, this. We were talking about the heartbreak pill earlier on, so that, you know, if a relationship has come to an end and you're heartbroken and all that sort of stuff, allegedly this pill that was going to supposedly take away all of the heartbreak, it's going to remove all the pain.
Yeah.
Right? That was at one end. Now the other end of the relationship.
This is the other end.
Suppose you're only going in.
Yeah.
Suppose you're only starting off. Suppose it's literally like day one, date one.
Exactly.
Interesting piece of information, this.
I don't know what the world's coming to. That you read this.
Are you shocked, are you?
I'm shocked, that I'm reading this story in the national newspaper. I'm shocked and I'm as appalled as that woman who couldn't believe there was no kettles in America.
Yeah. Did this affect you on a primal level, did it?
This affects me on a guttural primal level, I'm appalled. Because now they're saying, after all these years of courting and, going out
and
with each other.
Being a gentleman.
Keeping your hands to yourself for a while and making it... The longer you wait, the better it is and all that.
Yeah. Saving yourself till after marriage.
All of that, which, you know, that's mad. That's like turning up for the F1 with an L plate on the car. That's insane stuff. But now,
so you're not that outraged.
Yeah, I'm not that outraged. But they're now saying, if you want your relationship to last, you're better off doing a bit of indoor camping on the first date, is what they're saying.
Indoor camping?
Yeah, that's the...
Wow, that's a new euphemism. That's a new one you've introduced to the party. We're going to have to eventually do... We'll have to do, a choice or something. We'll have to have a vote
on
appropriate phrases to be used when we're trying to talk about what's been referred to as mammy and daddy time, indoor... camping.
Indoor camping.
Just now.
We also called it rubby rubby wrong once.
Which was one of my favourites, I have to admit. I have to confess, that was one of my favorites. Ruby Ruby Wrong Wrong was very good.
Yeah, yeah.
I look, there's been many titles, but I think you know where we're going with this. Yeah,
playing the trouser banjo and all these things. But I think a bit of willy camping is what we'll call it for this one.
Is it? Right.
Yeah, because you pitch a tent of sorts anyway. Right. But yeah, so they're saying you should do it now on the first day if you want your relationship to last longer. So they're saying couples stay together for at least 2 years if they do it on the first day. I don't believe this for an instant. This is just this is some fella now.
Surely
trying
that's speculative. I mean, it depends on, not to put too fine a point on it, depends on how good or bad it is, really.
Let's face it, the first time is never great. I mean, you have a spell. I always find with relationships there's a spell. You know, the start is terrible, and then you kind of walk each other out, and you learn the three moves that you like, and then that's good for a while, and then you just kind of think, oh, I wish you'd go out. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have a spell.
As I remember you saying in one of your stand-ups once, you'd just rather get a Chinese.
You'd rather get Chinese. Yeah, it's like that. It is like that, isn't it? You kind of go, do you want to go upstairs and have a bit of, ooh, do you want to pitch the old tent upstairs? And she's like, no, but I'd love a chow mein. Yes, I would like
that. Yeah, yeah, good call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good call.
And then but now you know it's going to be 2 weeks because you get that on a Friday. And normally we go upstairs on a Friday. And now it's, you know, it sounds like 1 week you miss, but it's actually two. So just so you're aware.
Wow. That sounds like you're one step away from an Excel spreadsheet. Well, look, because I'm out with the lads on the Friday after that again now.
Yeah. I can pencil you in after a cut of grass next Tuesday. Four.
Yeah. Or actually, to be honest with you, United are playing late on the Saturday. Half time, maybe.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, that's all the disappointments I can take this week. You're down even more. Yeah.
So the secret then, apparently, to a good relationship
is that
it goes totally against the idea of saving yourself and, as you say, you know, whatever, getting to know each other on a personality basis.
Yeah, they say get,
sort of stuff.
Get it out of the way.
It's literally go straight in with the old sort of,
yeah, with the old.
It's a bit like they're actually saying that, you know that mad show that's on Channel 4. The naked dating one.
I do know that show.
Where they reveal
bits. That's outrageous, that show.
Bits of people.
You see their bits before you see their face.
Yeah.
I think that's wrong.
Is this not a version of that of sorts? So it's
I suppose it
listen,
is.
Yeah. So you'd literally walk in, you meet somebody under Cleary's clock.
In the nip.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll be under the clock. You'll know me. I won't have a stitch on.
Yeah, you'll know me because I'll have me full man vegetables on display and you know.
Yeah. I'll just,
you won't mistake me.
I'll be holding a coffee in front of myself.
I have a mole on my hip.
Yeah. I'm totally identifiable, yeah.
And you go, listen, I know we might go for a drink later or whatever, but we'll go straight upstairs.
We'll go straight upstairs, yeah.
Yeah, and see whether we'll bother booking dinner. Yeah,
come on then, we rock down the Gresham, see if we can save on the cheesecake later. Yeah.
It's mad.
I think it's mad. They're also saying that couples who wait up
well,
to a year.
It's mad. I'm saying, you know, obviously if that's happened for you and it's worked out for you, great. It's just, it'll be a weird one to kind of, you know, it seems a weird one to sort of pitch early doors.
Well, I don't, yeah. I wouldn't be me now anyway. I'd be thinking, I'd be attracted to them.
Yeah, you'd be still, yeah.
Do you know why?
If somebody said that to you, if you rocked up and somebody said to you, well, listen, you know, should we just, do you want to just skip dinner and, you know, head upstairs? What? Skip dinner?
Yeah, dinner.
Do you know how long I've been looking forward to eating in this restaurant?
Yeah, I'm starving. I haven't eaten since lunchtime. And now you want to go up and play trails and banjos. I'll be there. No, I will not. And anyway, I don't trust anyone who finds me attractive. There's something going on there. You know, I know you're up to something.
And I certainly don't trust anybody who doesn't enjoy their dinner.
Yeah, you're someone who skips a dinner. Are you saying you ate before you came here? You're get out of it.
Yeah, you're a liar.
You're a liar. Come on, you do whatever you want upstairs. I'm going for a walk. I'll bring you back chips.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
So there you have it, folks. Just a small selection. Apologies if your favourite bit wasn't in there, but just a small selection of some of the bits and bobs from Morning Glory last week.
Yeah, you can't fit them all in, but I think that's a good summary of the week, really.
Yeah, yeah, not bad at all. And in terms of like future plans, is there anything you want to share with us?
What
I ask you this all the time, and you know, you never normally do share, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I'm on on my way to see, I'm on my way to Belfast this weekend to see the most unlucky man in the history of the universe. So I'm going up to see him.
When are we going to get him on the show?
As soon as possible. It's just hard to get him here because anything could happen on the way down.
Yeah.
So
I tell you something, it's funny. The guy that PJ's talking about is, I've never met him, and yet he is probably my favourite funny person of all time.
It's like Jim said earlier on, he's so unlucky that when you talk to him on the phone, bad things happen to you. That's how unlucky
his bad luck can actually radiate out. He's like the Bermuda Triangle of bad luck.
I swear to God,
sucked into us.
He's possessed by negative energy. Love him.
He's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, you always feel lucky after hanging out with him.
I can't wait to get him on the show. Although they do say never meet your heroes.
This fella won't let you. I guarantee. This fella. I swear to God, if someone walked in here with an AK-47 and shot everyone, he'd catch 20 bullets and no one else would get hit.
Just to help people understand kind of a little bit about him, I was trying to think, but there's so many of the stories you've told me about him, and the fact of the matter is they're true.
They're all true.
They're not his stories made up as in, you know, as part of a stand-up routine.
No.
They're actual life stories.
Yeah, he had to go to the toilet in his trousers in front of clampers. A horse robbed his notes going to a gig once. Yeah. He ran out of petrol halfway from Belfast to something. Had to walk through a field to get petrol, and he got to the station and it was closed. And then he got done for leaving the vehicle. Everything bad happens to this man.
I love him.
He brought everyone out for a free meal last year and he got punched in the face by a man sitting at the table. It's never
ending.
I'm
actually so looking forward to PJ coming back from that visit just to hear the stories. I feel like I'm the one going away.
His fucking dog left him for another man. I forgot to tell you that one. His dog left him for another man. He was living with an old lad in London, and he took his dog over, and then the dog didn't want to go for walks anymore. And your man says, I'm going to have to look after your dog. He's like, I can't even fucking believe it. He just signed to an agent in London, and he got a heart condition and ended up in the hospital for 6 weeks.
You see what I mean? The man is just, I can't wait to meet him. Anyway, right, listen, you go do that and bring back the stories and we'll feck off and do something else.
I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.